President-elect Trump holds his first news conference since the election.
The golden age of America, I call it, it's begun.
He talked about a wide range of topics from overseas conflicts to immigration to tariffs and vaccines.
He could end up being one of the most consequential presidents in a long time in terms of legislation.
Today is Monday, December 16th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
Today, I'm thrilled to announce that SoftBank will be investing $100 billion in America, creating 100,000 American jobs at a minimum. And he's doing this because he feels very optimistic about our country since the election.
At a news conference, which was billed as an announcement from SoftBank for a $100 billion investment in the United States, President-elect Donald Trump, speaking from Mar-a-Lago, covered a wide range of domestic and foreign policy issues and answered questions from reporters for the first time since the election.
One of those questions was on ending Russia's war in Ukraine.
What should Zelensky, if anything, be prepared to give up to end this war?
He should be prepared to make a deal.
Asked about Syria, Trump gave his view on who was behind the rebels' takedown and the fall of the Assad regime.
I believe it's Turkey, and I think Turkey is very smart. He's a very smart guy, and he's very tough. But Turkey did an unfriendly takeover without a lot of lives being lost. I can say that Assad was a butcher, what he did to children.
And on his widely promised tariffs.
Tariffs will make our country rich.
On Israeli hostages.
If these hostages aren't back home by that date, all hell's going to break out.
And on Trump's biggest domestic policy agenda, immigration. He called out the Biden administration for selling off parts of border wall that were bought and delivered but not installed during Trump's first term.
I'm asking today Joe Biden to please stop selling the wall. We're going to use that to create a strong barrier.
It was an amazing news conference, Lori, for a couple of reasons. Number one, the number of topics that he covered and the breadth of the topics. And also that it's been since the election that we've heard from him formally like this. It's not like him.
That's true. But when he does finally come out and talk to the press, he stays out there for a long time, that's for sure. Even if he may not necessarily love the press, he definitely didn't have a problem talking and answering lots and lots of questions, which didn't seem hostile at all.
And for sure, there were a lot of Trumpisms, if you will, in the news conference as well. A lot of greatest, most beautiful wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been, if he had been president.
Absolutely. Definitely one of his trademarks, for sure. Let's get some more insight into this long news conference and more about what the president-elect said. Joining us is VOA senior national correspondent Steve Herman.
Thanks so much, Steve, for joining us to do this.
Sure, Scott.
You know, I hesitate to go down this road because we spent 4 years doing it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I watched the news conference today, and it seemed to me it was a much more subdued and much more well-versed President-elect Trump than I ever remember seeing.
Well, Scott, he's off the campaign trail now, so this was more like the sessions that we would typically, but not always, see during his first 4 years in the White House. But what I would note is similar to what used to happen time and again during the first Trump administration. There was a big, seemingly positive announcement, and Donald Trump talked about a lot of other things that seemed to even overshadow the big news that he was trotting out.
Very true. He talked about so many things, and he got asked a lot of questions, from healthcare and vaccinations to his nominees to the Middle East and Ukraine, and there are so many different things. We heard a lot also about, you know, things would have been different if he had been in office the last 4 years. But what sure. What was your main takeaway from
That message about things would have been different, that was a very typical during the campaign trail and even before. But I think we do have to note that the big intended announcement was he had this Japanese entrepreneur next to him at Mar-a-Lago, Masayoshi Son, who I've covered over the decades, a very successful, credible businessman. And he was announcing that his company, SoftBank, would invest $100 billion in the U.S. economy while Trump is president again, creating supposedly 100,000 jobs. And then Trump impromptu said, well, how about doubling that to $200 billion? And Masayoshi Son diplomatically replied, I'll try. But we do have to note, this wasn't the first time we've heard this type of announcement. With Masayoshi Son, there was an announcement previously in 2016. He made a $50 billion pledge. It really didn't pan out. And there was also the announcement that Trump touted in Wisconsin with a Taiwanese chip manufacturer to build a big project there, and that never happened. So there are the caveats on that. As far as the issues that were raised in response to reporters' questions over a 45-minute period, some of these I think are going to make news depending on what your demographic is. If you're young and on TikTok, that video streaming platform, Donald Trump gave credit to the youth on TikTok for helping him win the election. And it's supposed to be banned in the United States next year. And Trump said he has a warm spot for TikTok and he might do something about that imminent ban. And then, of course, on serious subjects, geopolitical, the wars in Ukraine, in the Middle East, Trump had some comments as well. One thing I thought was very interesting, he said that it had been very stupid for the Biden administration to allow the Ukrainians to use these medium-range missiles to target 200 miles into Russia, and he might reverse that as well. And he also repeated on the Middle East that promising once he gets back into office, this will all be solved very quickly.
He also talked on the Middle East about if the hostages aren't released by the time he gets in office, there's going to be a price to be paid.
Yes, he said that before. I think this is the second or third time he's made such an intimation about that. And as you know, Scott, what we're hearing out of Israel is there seems to be a consensus among the Israeli political leaders, those in Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet, that we are getting close to a deal. But, you know, my caveat would be we've heard that before, too.
We know the Biden administration has senior aides there deployed and working on this as well. So if it were to happen before the 20th of January, when Donald Trump is sworn in, would Trump likely take credit for making that happen since he's giving this ultimatum that these hostages need to be released by then?
Lori, yes, almost certainly Trump would take some credit for this. But if it does happen before Donald Trump is inaugurated again, it will go down in the history books as something that happened in the Biden administration.
He said about Ukraine that Zelensky needs to be prepared to make a deal.
Yes, we've been hearing that from Donald Trump for some months. And in recent days, we seem to hear President Zelensky in Kiev and on his trips elsewhere. Of course, Trump and others met with Zelensky recently in Paris for the when the Notre Dame opened up again. And I think the Ukrainians are getting a reality check that Donald Trump is coming back into power. And obviously, Donald Trump is seen as somebody who was much more willing to listen to the Russians as well as the Ukrainians compared to the current administration.
Mm. Do you see something different now, or is this the same Donald Trump that we've saw in his previous term?
Well, I think what's very different is when he came in really unprepared at the beginning of 2017, there was a lot of scrambling. And he appointed people that had seemingly qualified backgrounds for many posts and felt chastened by those appointments, the so-called guardrails around Donald Trump. We're not seeing that this time around. He's making, as you know, much more controversial appointments. They're actually intended nominees at this stage, because a lot of them have to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate, and some of them are running into trouble. So that is very, very different. Also, this will be, despite what Donald Trump may say about changing the Constitution and being able to have a third term in his mid-80s, this will be his final term. And he doesn't have to have an eye on running for re-election. And maybe he will be much more forceful in trying to accomplish some of the things that are really dear to his heart, and may say, you know, public opinion be damned, or he may say, look, I got this mandate. He calls this a landslide victory over a Vice President Kamala Harris. So I definitely predict, if it's safe to make any sort of political predictions, that he is feeling more emboldened and will feel less reined in by the establishment.
Well, he did address exactly what you're saying. He talked about the first time and appointing a number of people and listening to other people. It was as close as I ever heard him to say that we made some mistakes. Listening to other people's recommendations for people that he subsequently thought weren't good people, and that this time it was different. He made a point of saying that during the news conference.
Yes.
One of his controversial appointments is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for Health and Human Services, and they talked about vaccines and you know, that they had had a meeting already with the CEOs of two of the largest drug manufacturers, and that although he spoke about being in favor of the polio vaccine and vaccines in general, he said there is something there that we need to look at in terms of why are there more cases of autism now, he said, than there used to be.
Correct. And we should point out that there is the mass number of studies who have looked at this have found no link between autism and vaccinations, although there has been a significant increase over the years in the number of autism cases in the United States. And so he seems to be open-minded. That, of course, is a big issue with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And that was part of what Trump, I think, had to accept by getting RFK Jr. to drop out as an independent candidate and come into the Trump camp. But I think what was significant that Trump did say in this news conference is he's not a fan of the school mandates of vaccines. Mm-hmm. And as you know, mm-hmm. most of the 50 states do require that before you put your children in public schools, that they do have to be vaccinated for things like measles, mumps, and rubella. And physicians across the board are warning that if, you know, we're already seeing a lot of cases where parents are not vaccinating their children, and we're seeing more and more cases of juvenile measles in the United States.
He reiterated that he intends to look at tariffs.
There was a new phrase that came up, Donald Trump saying that if tariffs are done correctly, he did have that caveat in there, that they will make America rich. And of course, you have a number of economists who are very wary about this, saying that it's actually the American consumers and you know, whoever is importing these products, manufacturers, retailers, distributors, who end up paying the price for these tariffs.
You know, he covered such a vast array of topics, given the long news conference, and answered a lot of questions. That's a pretty ambitious agenda he has. And you were kind of alluding to that earlier when you were talking about some of these things that didn't come through the last time. Do you think that it's more likely, you know, he will get some of these big ambitions now done quicker? Or do you think that this is all still going to be take time?
Well, it depends, Lori. There are some things that a president can do by executive order. Some of those executive orders can be challenged by lawsuits, delaying implementation. But when it comes to spending the government's money, that needs the approval of Congress. It holds the purse strings there. Now, Donald Trump has a slim majority in the House of Representatives and a little bit more comfortable majority in the upper chamber, the U.S. Senate. So if he really leans on those senators, especially, and most of the House members will fall in line, but there's always a few who, you know, may have exception, he could end up being one of the most consequential presidents in a long time in terms of legislation, just because he has his party in control of both chambers, and Donald Trump is not shy about twisting arms and even making threats against lawmakers who don't fall in line.
Which we've already seen happening with the people that he wants in the cabinet.
Correct. And so you have to ask, even if a number of senators find some of these nominees distasteful, how many of them are they really going to publicly oppose? With Donald Trump, they may be saying, well, I really need to choose my battles here. So there is an expectation that the majority of these appointees will get through. And Trump indicated at this news conference in Mar-a-Lago today that he would encourage primaries against Republican senators who oppose his nominees for what he called stupid reasons, but said, he's not going to target them if they have, quote, reasonable policy disagreements. But that's sort of subjective language there.
Steve, thanks so much.
Always my pleasure, Scott and Lori.
VOA Senior National Correspondent Steve Herman.
Well, Lori, we'll find out soon enough what gets done, what doesn't get done. We're just about a month away now from the second Trump administration.
Absolutely. And of course, lots to unpack in the coming days. It's all speculation until after Inauguration Day on January 20th. And then sounds like he's got a very ambitious agenda, and we'll see where it goes from there.
You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of all of us here at VOA News in Washington and around the world, thanks so much for joining us.
You can follow The Issue on X, Blue Sky, and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And you can get news 24/7 at your convenience on our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.